This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Want to hear real facts on social and political issues? Then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts with real people.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
When you keep voting party line, this is what happens to you.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own.
You have subways that are falling apart. You have cops that are being accosted in the street because of that socialist you elected as your mayor.
You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders.
When are you New Yorkers going to start holding those people responsible for what they do?
Not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
I'm going to deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, and maybe even get you a little embarrassed. So don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
It's the Joe Messina Show.
Welcome to hour number two, Real Side Radio. Joe is at his school board meeting tonight, saving the world, trying to correct this course of where these kids are going down this dark road in our world. All being just indoctrinated with TikTok propaganda. We're seeing it all across the globe, everywhere. Everything is just, it's when we're taking a look at situations right now where we've got the rallies in the streets again in Washington, D.C. tonight. They're closing down the House building. We're seeing violence again. We're seeing street violence happening in London again. We're seeing it in Berlin, Australia. It is absolutely stunning to me. The quick effect of this leftist march through the institutions that's taken place over the past 50 years, that all of a sudden it seems to be ubiquitous. Everywhere we look, from cancel culture to putting males on female sports teams, and you can't say anything about that. Or, you know, if you in any way have the audacity to put up a cartoon in the exact same style of your other cartoons, but it happens to actually call out Palestinians for the projection of what it is that they're doing, using children as shields, that you are now called racist. The list goes on and on and on. It seems that it just doesn't end. And a lot of us are just, as I was talking about before in the first hour, we're tired. It's like these Western values that we have all built our lives around, that we take for granted as being the bedrock of our society, are now being decried as racist. Widely accepted norms are being ridiculed. Every direction that we look, and the cultural practices that were cohesive for us as a society, have all but been abandoned. But only in the West. It is because the West, whether it's Western Europe, it's Australia, or the United States, because the West is guilty. We are, in fact, guilty and held accountable for all of the sins of our history, of the previous generations long before us, for the colonialism of other lands. And there isn't one land that hasn't been taken over by another party. But for some reason, today, the mushy-brained individuals that are getting what we call college diplomas today are seeing that our history is only one of two things, too white or too oppressive, and both of those come back to racism. Everyone else, regardless of actual brutality, is culturally equal. And so therefore, they do have a right to murder. They do have a right to rape, kill, and then rape again. They do have a right to maim, dismember, destroy, and desecrate. As long as the targets are the correct targets. And who are those targets today? Well, first, all Jews. That's it. All Jews, number one. front and center, historically, 5,000 years, as well as today. Number two, all white Christian men. All white Christian men. Don't worry, ladies, you're next. Because all whites in general will be number three. Anyone non-white who agrees with anyone who is white would be number four. You get the idea. You can't have a discussion with these people. Meritocracy is completely abandoned and thrown out of the window because nobody will look at you through the lens of meritocracy. All this discussion about diversity and equity and inclusion has only alienated us from each other. You know, in 2008, I certainly didn't vote for him, but when Barack Obama was elected president, I thought that would be a good thing for this country. And take the Iran equation completely out of this discussion for a minute, because that is all on Barack Obama. And everything we're seeing today in Israel is a direct result of that. Put that to the side for a minute. The idea, the very discussion that we are not a blue America, we're not a red America, we are the United States of America. I stood up and I applauded for that. And we have got nothing but the opposite. He has enabled the far left in this country to indoctrinate themselves, to initiate themselves into our institutions, our schools, our media, our great institutions like the FBI and the DOJ and all government agencies. We're seeing it across the board. And we used to laugh because kids would graduate Oberlin with a gender studies degree and would say, oh, they'll see in 3 to 5 years. They'll come around. And usually, by and large, they always did. Once they understand what FICA was and that you're paying me much less than I'm earning. No, that's called taxes and this is going to the government and government overspends. And okay, all of a sudden you become, if not conservative, you certainly become a little bit more wise and moderate. What's happened in the past 10 years? Nothing but just a continuation of this indoctrination that they've been fed, these mushy minds at Oberlin Gender Studies courses, where now we're giving $300,000-$400,000 a year to DEI administrators at the colleges, which allows them to see the world through the lens of racism. Everything is racist. And these kids parading in colleges in Columbia, NYU, UCLA, it's all about the racism. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more. I'm delighted to have coming up here next Rabbi Ron LaPaz, who's going to be talking about what we're seeing actually now on the ground and what Jews are facing here in the United States right after the break. Don't go away. Real Side Radio will be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. That's 800-876-4024.
Okay, I'm talking funny because I'm in the witness protection program. I have too much credit card debt and I don't want people to find me.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about credit card debt. Right, those plastic things that we all have in our wallet. Are you in your 50s or 60s and you're still carrying around a mound of credit card debt? Wouldn't it be nice to start banking that money and save a little money for retirement down the road? We help people restructure their credit card debt all the time. We show people how they can get out of credit card debt in months, not years. Listen, you'll be carrying around credit card debt for the rest of your life unless you deal with it right now. We offer a free consultation so you can learn how you can finally wipe out your credit card debt and start saving money. Give us a free call right now.
Call Debt Solutions Network now. Call 800-504-8356. 800-504-8356. That's 800-504-8356.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder.
You know this man.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Scott, Real Side Radio with Kadim here in the chair. It is always a pleasure being with you. An hour number two tonight of three fun-packed hours. And no matter where you are across the fruited plain, happy Wednesday to you. You know, over the years, I've been honored to have interviewed many supporters of Israel, from whether it's Ben Shapiro, Alan Dershowitz, Rabbi Shmuley Botek, or UN Ambassador Dor Gold, to name a few. It's rare that I get to speak, however, with a rabbi who not only understands and sees firsthand how the attacks of October 7th are impacting those within his congregation, but who has also served in the U.S. military. Rabbi Ron LaPaz is the spiritual leader of Valley Outreach Synagogue in Calabasas, California. In addition to, don't hold that against him, in addition to congregational leadership, Rabbi LaPaz engages in interreligious diplomacy across the globe, including with heads of state, government officials, and religious leaders. Honored to have you with us tonight for the remaining second hour here at Real Side Radio. Rabbi, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be with you.
Before we get into it, where were you on October the 7th, and how did you hear about the pogrom that occurred in southern Israel? I don't think there's any other way to describe it than that.
You know, a couple things. One is I was at home when I heard about it. You know, we're a close-knit family, and everybody was reaching out to each other, talking about what happened, like 9/11. You remember where you were standing when you saw the planes crash into the World Trade Center. And you mentioned the word pogrom, and I kind of think that's the only fitting word. I think Holocaust is misuse of the word Holocaust and what it meant and will always mean. I think pogrom is descriptive. It's just a shame that as Jewish people we had a word invented to describe vicious attacks against us, but that's what a pogrom was and sadly continues to be. So August 7th was indescribable, just the incredible experience of vulnerability, of connective vulnerability, of realizing not only that something's happening across the globe, but that something is ultimately impacting all of us. I think as the minority that we are on the face of the planet, the Jewish people, has a tie, a connection, one person to the next, that really was tested and has been tested since. Not tested in the sense that it was pulling us apart, though we see cases of that with universities and a lot that we can talk about, but just the sense of nearness, proximity. Where is this attack? It felt so close to everybody that I know. It felt like our own family members. In my case, having been born in Israel, it was my own family members who were right there on the ground.
Yeah, you were born in Haifa. I've been to Port City in northern Israel. We're seeing, obviously, all of Israel is impacted. Hezbollah is shooting rockets over the northern border. My brothers, who you know, and I, we stood in Misgav Am a number of years ago, looking down into Hezbollah territory, the Sunni-controlled area of southern Lebanon. And so it isn't just in Gaza. What are you hearing from your family right now?
Well, everybody's doing okay. I think a lot of it is, first of all, there was the disaster. There was the pogrom itself. Secondly, it was the impact on all Israelis having to live in bomb shelters. One of my nieces, who has two kids, was separated from her kids for a few days because they were with the grandparents in Ashdod, which isn't far from the Gaza Strip, and she was where she works in Tel Aviv. So I think that happened to a lot of families. That sense of constant vulnerability. And then it became issues. I have family members through marriage in my family who live, you probably know Kiryat Shmona, one of the border towns, right near on the Lebanese border. And everybody was forced to evacuate, but there were certain people who are responsible for the well-being of the community, its security, and they had to stay. And a couple of my relatives were in that group. And one of the things that came up, of course, was, well, what happens to animals left in the community? Pets? What happens to farming? What happens to harvesting? And what we're seeing now is when all of the people who would ordinarily do that in Israel, which, as you probably know, is very much an agricultural, agrarian society, famous for what they produce, it means somebody has to pick fruit and, you know, get down in the dirt and tend to the crops. So it's been an upheaval, to say the least. We had one relative extended relative, who was shot not once but twice. But as far as I know, to this point, that's the only casualty that we've had in our family.
After the break here in a couple of minutes, I really want to get into, you know, your thoughts on everything that we're seeing right now, the demands globally for a ceasefire, what that would do.
Sure.
Just news the last couple of days, which when I first saw it, Rabbi, I disbelieved that. I think it came through my family thread. And I said, that can't be true, whereby the Biden administration just unlocked $10 billion for Iran. For Iran, who it's unequivocal, it's inarguable that they are funding all of this. So, you know, there's so many political and geopolitical elements to all of this. We've got a discussion today on free speech. We've got a discussion on anti-Semitism. I mean, there's a lot. I really, and that's why I wanted to have you for the rest of the hour, because I really want to get your insight into this. But briefly, before we get, before we take our break here, I just also wanted to share with our audience here that you are also an accomplished opera singer. So I wanted to keep it a little bit lighthearted here before we went into the break. You sang all across Europe and quite an incredible career, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I did that for a number of years, sang in a lot of European cities, sang leading roles in different opera houses and concert halls, which was fantastic. And I think if I was a single person, I might still be doing it. But with a family, that becomes challenging.
Yeah.
You know, to be successful in opera is to be on the road most months of the year. So at some point, you reach a crossroad where you have to say, well, what ultimately do I want to look back at my life and realize I did well? And it was certainly in my case to come home and be a husband and a father.
Well, I know that your sanctuary is very pleased that you make that decision from a selfish standpoint, but do you still sing?
I do.
Beyond from the Bema. I mean, except for outside of the Bema.
Yeah, I sometimes still sing in concerts.
Okay.
I think it's like, honestly, I think it's like ballet. It's such a high-level art form that if you're not working at it every day at a high level, you can't do the work, you know, at that level. So I think the days of performing in full three-hour, two-hour operas is certainly over. But getting to sing with orchestras is still a great thrill.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because it's not some every day that we have a rabbi that joined us that also served in the U.S. Air Force, an opera singer, and now leads a congregation in one of the most beautiful parts of the country in Calabasas. So we'll be right back with Rabbi Ron LaPaz. Whiskey Dave here in the chair. We will be back after the news and commercials, and looking forward to getting into some of these harder to discuss issues than opera singing. We'll be right back here at Realside Radio. Don't go away.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Okay, I'm talking funny because I'm in the witness protection program. I have too much credit card debt and I don't want people to find me.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about credit card debt. Right, those plastic things that we all have in our wallet. Are you in your 50s or 60s and you're still carrying around a mound of credit card debt? Wouldn't it be nice to start banking that money and save a little money for retirement down the road? We help people restructure their credit card debt all the time. We show people how they can get out of credit card debt in months, not years. Listen, you'll be carrying around credit card debt for the rest of your life unless you deal with it right now. We offer a free consultation so you can learn how you can finally wipe out your credit card debt and start saving money. Give us a free call right now.
Call Debt Solutions Network now. Call 800-504-8356. 800-504-8356. That's 800-504-8356.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. The Israel-Hamas war is now in its 40th day. The Israeli military has raided the Gaza Strip's main hospital and said it's a targeted operation against Hamas.
The U.S. confirmed yesterday that Hamas uses hospitals and tunnels underneath them to hide and hold hostages. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has expressed openness to a presidential run.
The Democrat, who recently announced he won't seek re-election to the Senate, told NBC News that he may jump in the presidential race.
Every American should consider, if they're in a position to help save the country, I think we're on the wrong course. So I will do everything possible. Now, there's a lot of good people out there I hope I can motivate that they've just given up. I said, don't give up. This is the best country in the world.
When pressed, Manchin avoided specifying whether he would exclusively run as a third-party candidate. I'm John Schaefer.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
And welcome back, Real Side Radio, here on this Wednesday evening, hour number two, halfway through. How quickly time goes when you're having fun. Whiskey Dave here in the chair. Joe will be back tomorrow night. He is at his school board meeting, saving the world. And our kids definitely need saving. But tonight we're having a great discussion, and we're delighted and honored to have Rabbi Ron LaPaz, who is the spiritual leader at Valley Outreach Synagogue in Calabasas, California. Welcome back. Ron, how are you?
Thank you. Doing well, thank you.
So we're seeing a lot of incidents around the globe, and even in your neighborhood last week with the killing of an Israeli supporter, Paul Kessler, who was killed by a pro-Palestinian activist. I'm from England originally, born and raised there. My family, we're seeing Jews in England, we're seeing Jews in America, Australia, and elsewhere, are suddenly very fearful to speak out. They're saying the numbers are like 500% fold in anti-Semitism over just the past month. What is going on?
Yeah, I'll give you an idea of how it's playing out. I think we do have incidents. The incidents are growing in frequency and in number. And it used to be that when we talked about anti-Semitic or hate crime incidents, they would be maybe the posting of something on a wall, graffiti, but now they're getting more and more violent. We don't know in my neighborhood in Westlake Village there, just minutes away from where we are, the details of what happened with Paul Kessler, but we'll find out soon. We know there was some kind of interaction between pro-Palestinian protesters and Israelis or pro-Israel protesters, and somehow there was some kind of meeting of, I'll say, I don't know if it was head and bullhorn, and he ended up dying from his injury. I don't know the details. But what I'll say is that the incidents of anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic attacks are skyrocketing. And I work closely with law enforcement, and they're very concerned for us. In fact, they're doing a lot behind the scenes to support us. I'll tell you, Dave, about a week ago, I went to the shooting range, and the language that I heard most frequently other than English was Hebrew. And it was people of all ages. I saw an elderly couple be training there on the range. I think Jewish people the world over are feeling vulnerable. And unlike what happened in the Holocaust, they're saying we're not going to be victims. We're going to be in defense of ourselves if, God forbid, we have to be. It's a strange reality to see an Orthodox Jewish couple in their, I'd say, 70s with a trainer at the range. But that's how vulnerable people are feeling, but also how self-reliant people are feeling also, which is we're not going to necessarily look for others to look out for us. We're going to take care of ourselves. I found that I was in Rome several days after the attack, and I went there to the Vatican to commemorate the attack on Jews in 1943, the same month, at the same time of the day, on the same day of the week, when Jews were pulled out of their beds in their houses, men, women, and children, two-year-old people in their 80s, all ages, and they were rounded up, taken captive, and taken to a police academy, and then put on trains. And of about 1,400 of them, only 16 survived. The rest were in Auschwitz and gassed to death. And to be there to commemorate that event, Catholic and Jewish leaders together, at the time when this was happening, it was uncanny. It was like nothing I've experienced. And talking to Catholic leaders, talking to Christian leaders, talking to Jewish people there, I asked one Jewish woman, let's say a woman in her 30s to 40s, I said, "Sarah, how are you feeling? What's it like being a Jew living in Rome these days?" And her one-word answer was terrifying. I think people feel terrified. You mentioned anti-Semitic attacks. One of the things that you see that I think is powerful in European cities where Jews were routed out of their houses and killed in the Holocaust, I should say murdered more accurately, was there are these stumbling stones, stumbling blocks. And the stumbling blocks are little plaques that are embedded in the cement in front of their homes that says, this person lived in this home, was deported to Auschwitz on this date, and murdered. And they've been removing them in Rome. You know, it was desecrating these monuments to people's lives and their deaths. And thugs in the night went in with chisels, presumably, and removed them. When you walk by the Rome Opera House on the side, there's a plaque that talks about an opera singer, Jewish opera singer, who was on stage, removed mid-performance and taken away by the Nazis and the fascists. And remember, this is just for being Jewish. This isn't for doing or saying or anything else. It wasn't for a verb. It was for a noun. It was for being a certain thing, which is a Jewish person living at that point in history, at that place in the world. And I think Jews are feeling the same kind of vulnerability these days. One thing I'll say, I do a lot of work and have really fantastic relations with Christians and Christian leaders here in our area. And there was a number of years ago when we were dealing with one of the incursions into Gaza, rockets firing into Israel. And Pastor Dudley Rutherford, a dear friend of mine, contacted me and said, "Brother, I just want you to know if you guys are in danger, you come to us." And he and I spent time together recently, did a television program together about the war, about what's happening. And I reminded him of that. I said, "You know, you have always been that person and those people that we can turn to, and thank God for them. This is an incredible and important relationship."
Yeah, the Christian community has really come out in support of Jews. They treat Israel in the same way that we treat Israel as Jews. They look at Israel as their homeland in many ways as well. And, of course, you know, you have the Christian quarter. So, you know, and we see this, and we see a kind of a groundswell of support that's coming out. And Jews are not being silent. Now, we're not going to get the mainstream media. You're not going to get the BBC. And the sympathetic anchors in the mainstream media behind this. But, you know, we just had a pro-Israel rally yesterday in Washington, D.C. that some estimates show, I don't know, up to 300,000 people attended. They say it's the largest Jewish gathering in U.S. history.
290,000, I heard, was the number.
Yeah.
It was just a wall, a sea of people, which is incredible.
And you didn't see any masks. You didn't see any violence. You didn't see anybody smashing buildings. I mean, it was incredible. So I think people are starting to say, hey, enough is enough, right? They're kind of coming out. They're going to the gun ranges. They're taking action.
Yeah, I think where you're not going to see that kind of support, where we're not seeing it among Christians and Jews, is when they're in academia. I think they're that's an island among our peoples. In other words, they're people who view the world differently, and I would say sadly incorrectly, and I'd say tragically they see the world, I'd say immorally. Not that they see it as immoral, but their stance and their vision of the world, I'd say, is clearly immoral.
Well, the discussion that's coming from the ivory towers of our universities is that war, for some reason, suddenly now there needs to be proportionality. That there needs to be some moral equivalence, that parity, that somehow war is supposedly be even. I mean, where were these people? These people wouldn't have survived World War II. But, I mean, where does this come from?
Well, I think if you're a warrior on the side of goodness and justice, which all of us should be, but if you've learned a certain language for that, and you've learned a certain vocabulary and understanding of the world in terms of oppressed and oppressor, then whatever the oppressor does, and in this case, it's clearly the white oppressor, which, because Jews just seem to be white, even though we're 50% white or 30% white globally, 50% in Israel. But we have this myth around us of power of controlling media. I wish we would. You're pointing out the fact that Jews clearly don't control media, or we'd be controlling the message, and we have no control over the message. So that's the first proof text, right? We just need to read the New York Times to see that we don't control the media and the narrative.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is it's horrific. You have this myth that's being propagated, myth upon myth upon myth about colonialization, about apartheid, about oppressor and oppressed. And therefore, if you're 25 or 22 and your parents are spending $80,000, $100,000 a year on your college education, you're being taught that the oppressed is clearly the person on that side of the image, and the oppressor is that one. And therefore, who's going to be the one to not stand up for the oppressed? It's just a fallacy.
Let's continue this after the break. We've got Rabbi Ron LaPaz, who is a spiritual leader at a beautiful camp, by the way, beautiful, beautiful Valley Outreach Synagogue in Calabasas, California. I've had the honor to go there a few times and plan to go again. We'll be right back after the break with Rabbi LaPaz. Whiskey Dave here at Real Side Radio.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Austin Powers always defeats me because he has Joe. The life force, the essence, the right stuff. What the French call a certain, I don't know what.
Welcome back, Realside Radio. Hour number two coming to a close here. I'm delighted to have with us Rabbi Ron LaPaz from Valley Outreach Synagogue in Calabasas, California. And Rabbi, I do want to talk a little bit about geopolitics right now, a couple of things, and I'd love for your input and response to this. You know, at the very beginning, on October the 7th and 8th, the first response from the Biden administration was to unequivocally vocalize support for Israel. And they've repeated that support vocally. A couple of things. Nobody from the administration, by the way, attended yesterday's rally in D.C. Okay, we had the bicameral Congress there. That was nice to see. But more insidious, today, FBI Director Christopher Wray confirmed to lawmakers on Capitol Hill that illegal alien terrorists have in fact slipped into the United States via the nation's porous southern border with Mexico. And just the last couple of days, I thought it was a joke. We now learn it's true. Biden administration has just unlocked $10 billion for Iran. State Department just confirmed it, that they're going to green light freeing up $10 billion for Tehran in its terror proxy. I mean, is this, and I don't, I know that you've got people in your congregation from the left and the right, and I'm not asking you to be partisan here.
Sure.
But does Israel truly have a friend in D.C. right now in the Biden administration?
I think Israel does, and I think Israel does in every administration, certainly in my lifetime. Administrations change, but there has been something consistent, which is strong support for Israel. I think, you know, when Biden came into power, when Blinken came into office, I asked people at different agencies, so what do we know about them in terms of their relationship and how they've acted in the past? And they said they've been really right on these issues. So I'm as puzzled as you are. You mentioned two issues. One is the porous border. And I'm deeply concerned about that. I think we've been playing down the threat of that. We've seen that as a migration and an immigration of low-skilled workers. Maybe that's the great threat, that people will come here and take jobs. I don't think that's the grave concern. I think the great concern is that people are coming into our country, not through airports and train stations, but coming through the border. And who knows who's infiltrating, who's coming in. So 9/11, I thought, was the great teacher to us in history in terms of, you know, we heard for the first time we learned this term, Americans learned that term sleeper cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we became alarmed and worried and started talking about that with each other. And then we stopped talking about it for a long time. And maybe it's time we need to start thinking about it seriously. Maybe it's time that our law enforcement, I'm assuming, knows more than we do. People that I speak to in law enforcement certainly do. The other issue that you mentioned is the money going to Iran. I don't know more than you do. You might know more than I do, Dave. The only thing that I'm going to make an assumption, either that this was put in place before this war started and they can't reverse it somehow, but I doubt that because there are measures they could take, presumably, to reverse a policy like that, to freeze the funds. My guess is that it's something strategic related to ending the war in a positive way for the hostages. But that's just maybe my optimism.
So what you're saying is that there may be we're seeing this right now with Saudi Arabia. Okay, they're saying that, you know what, we're still in the Abraham Accords and there's shuttle diplomacy that's happening behind the scenes.
Correct.
What you're saying optimistically, and there's no proof of this anywhere, but you're crossing your fingers
right
behind your back saying that maybe we're just trying to get out of this situation. Iran could pull back from Hamas and Hezbollah and stop this growing into a regional conflict.
Well, presumably the only person with true power is President Raisi and Ayatollahs in Iran. I don't think that, you know, the Qataris clearly are playing diplomats and they're effective. And maybe if we get hostages released, it'll be because of their diplomacy. But I think ultimately the funder and the force behind the war, behind the pogrom, the subsequent war, and behind the course that the conflict takes now is in Tehran. So yeah. I'm not surprised that we're seeing something like this, but obviously I'm concerned by the amount of money and where it's going to get spent.
There's a tremendous number of people across the globe that are demanding a ceasefire or even peace with Hamas, and I have no idea what that means. How can Israel make any kind of deal or pact when, as we all know, everybody's saying this, in the very Hamas charter, they call for the annihilation of Jews and Israel's existence, and then beyond that, Jews and Christians worldwide, the caliphate?
They're explicit.
Yeah, so how does this end without us destroying Hamas?
I don't think it does. Again, we're talking about immoral stances and immoral views. I think the immoral viewpoint is just make it end. It hurts. The moral viewpoint is we have to go through this pain, and the pain isn't only localized there for Palestinians and Israelis, but global pain. We're all suffering. We're all feeling this. But I think ultimately, I mean, not to minimize it, but let's bring it down to the micro from the macro. And if you think I've been in hospitals where somebody's having, you know, terrible, almost deadly, literally almost deadly therapies to get rid of a disease, and the family's saying, can you not make it end? he's suffering too much. And the doctor says, if I stop now, it's just going to devour him. And I think that's probably a good analogy for this situation now.
If Israel stops doing what they are doing, going into the tunnels, destroying Hamas as surgically as they can, if they pull back and say cease fire, it only comes back to Israel in spades. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. And I don't think it's Israel only. I think the world, region in the world, I think it's got to be destroyed. I mean, I don't believe that we're going to destroy the ideology behind Hamas. I think that's much deeper. I've done work with an organization that I represent, Center for Interreligious Understanding. We've worked at the UN, and one of the things that we've tried to achieve is to get the UN to stop funding the disgusting anti-Israel, anti-Semitic textbooks that are in schools in the Palestinian territories. So that's one thing, but you know, this is generational, multi-generational. I think we have to think, certainly if the goal can't be to stop the ideology in its tracks, then the goal must be to weaken its ability to harm us.
Let me do a thought experiment with you here. Let me say that you're sitting down in your office and you've got one of these pro-Palestinian kids who we're seeing in London, Los Angeles, wherever it may be, and they're absolutely frothing at the mouth, free Palestine, they've got the flags, they've got the mask on. What do you say to this person to break through? What is the message to try to get them to understand what is history and what is truly happening here?
It's a great thought experiment. I think it could go two ways. And you've probably seen this on social media where somebody will go up to somebody, one of the Free Palestine rallies, and say, do you know that Palestine is this? You know, there's the issue of Queers for Palestine. Mm-hmm. People are looking at those protests going, do you know what would happen to queers in Palestine? Have you not seen videos? Have you not read footage? Have you not seen what happens in Muslim countries to people who have the freedom to live according to their own wish, identity, and desire in Israel, in the United States, in other countries of the world? So one is the issue of just sheer ignorance, people jumping on bandwagons without really understanding with any degree of depth beyond a few keywords like intersectionality and decolonialization and apartheid, which are pretty big words that right. carry a lot of weight and they mean a lot historically. But in this case, they don't fit and they don't apply. So I think what I would do is say, write down on a piece of paper, make a case, give me a case that I can read it, and you and I can see it, because that way we can read words and we can respond to them. And let's both have a conversation about it. So let's make a case. I want you to write down, let's say, the six things that Israel is and does that are most egregious to Palestinians and therefore worthy of your support here in California. And then let's look at each one. Let's have the generosity to have a curious conversation. I would listen to her or him with curiosity to hear their point of view, and I'd hope that they would listen to me with the same curiosity.
It's about communication and it's about talking. And unfortunately, you know, the social media has, I've said this so many times, which is why I'm pretty much off of it. I read on Twitter and that's it now. It's destroyed us. It's just destroyed our ability to communicate and to share and to educate and have discussions like what you're talking about right there. And I think if we were able to sit down with each other, with good people like yourself, in an interreligious way, it doesn't have to be Jew and Jew. It you know, it's what you've been doing for years. I think that could really, you know, bring a lot of people together and stop the hate. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight. I really greatly appreciate it. And I know you're so busy with everything else in your life. And if anybody wanted to reach out to you, is it the Valley Outreach Synagogue in Calabasas?
Yeah, absolutely. Or social media, R. Lee Paz or Ron Lee Paz on Facebook and various other media platforms.
Greatly appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Okay, really enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you. And folks, I'll be back here for hour number three. Realside Radio, do not go away. Got a lot of discussion. And if you want to join the discussion, you can give us a phone call at 855-732-5563. That's 855-732-5563. Hour number three coming up here. Don't go away, folks. Realside Radio will be right back.